Hi.
Hey.
Welcome to Book Squad Goals. I want to try to make some time traveling joke about how we recorded this in the past and now you're listening to it in the present, but that's the future for us. And the reason that I'm bringing this up is because we're talking about The Time Traveler's Wife, not the book, not the Rachel McAdams movie.
Thank
though I'm
God.
Sure both of those will come up.
Hey, did you know Rachel McAdams is my cousin?
That's
False.
Not true.
I just wanted to see if anyone listening would believe.
Sorry, we didn't let them believe.
There's a future in which someone will believe it when I say that Rachel
you
McAdams is my
cousin. You can't change the future.
Yeah. It's just true. Okay, anyway, but we are talking about the HBO show. Just so you know, just before we get into anything, because who even knows, like maybe somebody would think this intro question is a spoiler. So just so you know, spoilers for the show, probably also for the book. Also trigger warnings. We will be discussing sexual assault and suicide. And I can't change that because you can't change the future. So listen accordingly based on your triggers. Is that right? Is that all right with everyone?
Good.
Okay, cool. So intro question. We're going to get deep with this one. As a time traveler, Henry often returns to moments of his life and people who are significant to him. So if you were a time traveler, what's a time in your life you would return to often? This could get dark or this could get happy. It's really up to you.
I'm going to do an in-between.
Okay.
I think I would go back to when I was like 6. And
wait, who are you?
Oh, it's Mary.
Okay, thank you.
I would go back to when I was like maybe 6 and see what my parents were like, because it's hard for me to remember what my mom was like before my parents got divorced. She changed a lot after that. And I just like, oh, this is going to sound really depressing. I just don't have like a lot of memories of her being happy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not saying she was happy when she was married, but, like, I remember her as happy then. So I think I would want to go back and investigate.
It's a very Henry and his dad scenario.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll go.
Okay.
I'm Susan, and I was going to say a different thing when I first saw this question, but then I remembered that I have kind of had a weird time travel-y moment before.
What?
Not like I really time traveled, but okay. I'll explain. One time I was talking to my therapist after I made a very big life change, and I was feeling like a weight lifted off my shoulders. I was feeling good, and she was like, this is awesome, but like even a year from now, like, you won't believe how much better it even is from now. And she was like, I want you to get your phone out right now and, like, put in your calendar for 1 year from today, like, a little alarm to go off to ask yourself, how do you feel today? I was like, okay, cool. So I did that, and then, of course, I forgot about it for a year. And then one day, that little reminder popped up, and it said, ask yourself, how do you feel today? And I was like, what is this? I'm like, oh, yeah, it's a message from me from the past. So but that day I was in Switzerland with Justin, the person I didn't know when I wrote that down. And we were about to go kayaking on this really beautiful lake by ourselves. And it was just like the most peaceful place I had ever seen. It was really early in the morning. And I was like, wow, that was awesome advice from my therapist.
Aww.
And then
was that when he proposed?
He proposed like 2 days later. So yes, but like that whole day was very like, it was just a really, really good day. And so obviously I'd love to go back to Switzerland anytime I got the chance. So I would time travel back there. But I just thought that was cool because it was kind of a little bit like a message from the past, to my future self. And future self was really glad to have that reminder pop up.
It was like you sent yourself a question or your mom a question from your future husband. Anyway, you know what I'm saying.
This is Kelly. This is hard to decide on. But I think I'm going to go with that I would travel back, kind of similar to Mary's, but different. But my grandfather died when I was like 12, and we were very close when I was a kid. And my dad always like talks about how cool his dad was, how great he was. And my grandfather was like, he worked in the music, like in the music industry. He was like a record person and like knew all these like rock stars and stuff. And it was just like a totally interesting dude, but he was like very sweet with me. But I wish I could like go back and talk to him like as an adult and like get to know him as like a real person, because like my memories of him are so much like him being like a grandfather and I was a little kid, you know? And so I would love to like go back in kind of the way that Henry does, where he's like an adult and his parents don't realize who he is and he just kind of talks to them and stuff.
Yeah.
I would like to do that. But he would probably recognize me because I look exactly the same as I did as a child. So.
I mean, but I think if you, I don't know, like if you saw your adult child walking around or your adult grandchild, you wouldn't be like, that's her, because you'd be right. Like, that's time impossible. So you'd just be like, this adult looks just like my granddaughter. Weird. That's strange.
Yeah. Weird yeah. Coincidence.
But this is Emily. So mine's a big bummer, but I was with my brother when he died. So obviously that's a moment that I revisit in my head a lot, and it was very traumatizing. And so obviously, like sort of like Henry was with his mom when he died, and that's a moment he goes back to a lot. I think that's kind of the obvious answer for me. It would be really hard for me to pick anything else. So, sorry. It is what it is.
You don't have to be sorry. I knew that was your answer.
I mean, like, it's kind of the obvious answer for me. So, yeah, let's talk about The Time Traveler's Wife. This show description is from the HBO website, so it's really, I'm just going to go ahead and preface this by saying it's really interesting how HBO reviews its own show in this description. Adapted by Stephen Moffat from the beloved novel of the same name, The Time Traveler's Wife follows the spellbinding and intricately out-of-order love story between Claire, Rose Leslie of HBO's Game of Thrones, and Henry, Theo James of Divergent, and a marriage with a problem. Time travel. Who's highlighting Steve Moffat?
Me. I just wanted to look up and see what else he's done. Oh my god.
Yeah, he's Sherlock.
This explains
he's
the so worst. Much. Okay, anyway.
Wait, who is he? Okay, we'll get there.
At 6 year old, I don't know. At 6 years old, Claire meets Henry, the future love of her life, and who, as a time traveler, is actually visiting from the future. 14 years later, when a beautiful redhead wanders into the library where Henry works, claiming not only to have known him all her life, but to be his future wife, a magical romance ensues that is as sprawling and complicated as Henry's attempts to explain his condition. Over 6-hour-long episodes, the genre-bending drama series expertly weaves themes of love, loss, marriage, and survival in a story that defies the laws and logic of time.
Did Stephen Moffat write that last part?
Yes.
It's very...
That's a bold
It's a lot. Line. I mean, this is saying expertly. That it's spellbinding and intricately out of order, spellbinding... expertly weaves themes of love.
Weird. Phrase.
What'd you say?
Oh, I was saying that intricately out of order is like a really stupid phrase.
I feel like.
And doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah. Mm-mm. That could be a good descriptor of the book, maybe. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm interested to hear what everyone thinks about. whether, like, how expertly, quote unquote, this was crafted. Because, like, I knew what was going on the whole time, so I don't know if it was confusing or not. Because to me, it wasn't confusing, because I knew, you know?
Yeah.
But.
I'm curious about that, too. Also, just the pacing felt really weird to me as someone who had read the book. But we will talk about that.
I feel like we have all scales here, like Emily and Kelly. I feel like you have a firm grasp on the book and what happened in the book. I've read it, but it's been over a decade, so like I remember the high points. I don't know a lot of it. And Susan, you have not read it,
right? I've seen the movie, but
yeah, but Kelly hasn't seen the movie. I've seen the movie, read the book multiple times.
It's bad.
I don't remember a lot about the movie, though, because I didn't like it very much.
Yeah.
I remember that, but I don't remember a whole lot about it.
So I feel like we have to start by talking about the grooming criticisms before we can discuss anything else, because I think even reading the show description, when you hear, at 6 years old, Claire meets Henry, the future love of her life, who's visiting from the future, there's some issues happening there. And, like, obviously this was present in the book as well, but there's just something about the show that really highlights it.
Sorry, I don't want to interrupt, but I will say, having just reread the book, like, literally for this,
yeah,
it's pretty bad in the book, yeah, too.
but I want to talk about some of the reasons that it feels like especially bad in the show. So, but we'll get there when we get to the differences between the book and the show. But, yeah, so I added a link here, and we can add it in the show notes, just kind of like explaining the criticism. But basically, you know, at certain points in the story, Henry goes to the past and spends time with Claire as a child. And at one point he even lets her know, when she's a teenager, he lets her know that, like, they are married in the future, but he kind of, like, hints at it, and she's, like, falling in love with him. And so, like, this is, like, in any other circumstance, this would be considered grooming, you know?
Right.
And you can argue, oh, well, like, Henry couldn't help that he went back to her. Like, that's just what happened. I'm like, okay, but, like, somebody wrote it that way.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
and the person who did that was Audrey Niffenegger, if that's how
right,
you say her last
right.
name. That's who is to blame here.
He also chose to, like, go interact yes. with her.
Right.
Repeatedly. He didn't. He could have
just. In the bushes. Just stay in those bushes, sir.
So I added this link because Moffat is kind of, like, defending the criticisms. And he basically argues that Henry is a responsible man who has, quote, tremendously strict rules about how he interacts with Claire when he travels back in time. We can talk about that because, like, are they tremendously strict? I feel like he slips and slides a little.
Sometimes they're stricter,
I will say, in the show than they are in the book. They're, like, fully making out in the book when
yeah.
he's a teenager.
He argues that it's Claire who has the largest impact on Henry rather than the other way around. He says, if one of them changes the other, Claire changes Henry. Claire is exactly the same person as little girl as she is when you see her in her 70s. Just as an aside, like, that's not possible. But anyway.
That actually makes it sound
yeah.
worse. Not
Henry
better.
Flows around Claire like a river around a rock. He makes himself the man she wants him to be because he loves her. All right. So, yeah, I guess with that kind of baseline of, like, the criticism and the response from the show, like, how do we feel about that? How do we feel about the way that the book is written? And, it, like, as we're discussing this, I also just want to remind everyone that on this podcast we did discuss a book that was straight up a love story between an adult and a child, and as I recall, we loved it.
Yes.
So
yes, we did.
That could be interesting too, to discuss, like, why did, like, if we have a problem with this, like, why do we have a problem with this, and, like, we didn't have a problem with the other book. So yeah.
I don't have a problem. Here's the thing. I don't have a problem with the way it happens in the show or the way it happens in the book, because we are sort of left to interpret it. And I think the show is aware it's weird and creepy, because they mention grooming so many mm-hmm. times. Like, I think the show knows, like, there's something people will be uncomfortable here. We need to kind of, like, say it before anyone else can say uh-huh. it. I think Stephen Moffat's defense is crappy. Specifically, he says he meets her as an adult, he falls in love with her, he gets married to her, and then he's flung back in time through no fault of his own, and is confronted with the childhood version of the woman he already loves. He basically says he's married to her, so it's yeah. okay.
Yeah, I feel like the argument for this is that it is like whatever, not like a catch-22, but it's like a situation where, like, because you can't change the future and you can't change the past, he meets her and learns when he meets her, before he knows who she is, that he has visited her many times as a little girl. And at that point, he knows that to be true, and that is the truth, and it already happened, so it's gonna happen. Like, it happened. So it's, like, hard to tell this particular story any other way. If you're going to make an adaptation of this, I don't see how you get around that, really. But it's also just, like, it's inherently weird, you know?
I can't find it now, but I read an article this morning that Audrey Niffenegger, who wrote the Time Traveler's Wife novel, and she didn't have anything to do with the show, apparently. Like, she doesn't own the rights to the story at all. So that's why that horrible movie got made, and she didn't have anything to do with the show. But she has talked to Stephen Moffat before, and apparently was cool with him doing this. But she said, oh yeah, when I wrote the book, I didn't write it like it was a great love story. I let people be uncomfortable with their own feelings about this, because it is uncomfortable. And, like, I'm fine with that, you know, because it is, like, romantic, but it's not, like, a romance novel.
Yeah.
Doesn't have a
happy ending, though, because it reads like a romance, you know? I think it does, anyway. It's very...
I don't remember.
I mean, the whole point of the book is their love story, you know? So... I mean, yeah. It's also, like, time and death and all that, everything else. But, like, ultimately, like, the one thing that you believe throughout is, like, these two people are, like, soulmates. They are meant to be together, you know? And, like, that's, like, this, like, they keep going back to fate and all this stuff. And yeah, that's, like, what makes it hard.
I will say, I'll try to find this article and link to it. She also said stuff like, yeah, it's never not weird for a grown man to be alone in private with a child he's not related yeah. to. I don't know. Like, she was just saying, like, yes, it's creepy and yeah. uncomfortable. It is.
And,
what,
like,
it is.
I think also in the book, the way that it's written is very much like he is just a guy, like, what, like, he's alone with this, you know, as a child. Like, there's a very, like, distinct difference between his behavior with her when she's a child, and then when she becomes a teenager and starts going through puberty, you're getting his perspective, and he's yeah. like, I'm trying not to see her this way, I'm trying not to think about this, but it's really hard not to think about it, like, that I am fucking this person when she's my age, but now I'm with her and she's a child, but she has boobs now, and it's weird, like.
And well, like, also, I want to note, like, she's not his age. Like, even when they're, yeah. like, in the same timeline, he's, like, 9 years older than her.
Right.
So.
But 9 years is a lot yeah. different.
But even then, I'm like, I remember dating like a 28-year-old when I was in college, and I'm like, why did I do that? Or why did he do that? And that's the same vibe here. She's like 20 and he's 28, and you're like, that's one thing I wonder about the original story. I'm like, why did she decide to do that? Like, why make him older in the present?
Yeah, I don't know.
I get it when she's, like in her 20s and he's like 36. And I'm like, yep, that's the right age.
Fine. Yeah. But like when you're 20.
But they had to age into that.
And you're dating a 28-year-old. That's, you can't even drink yet. Like you can't go to a bar and like.
Yeah, 20 is quite young.
Yep.
Like you shouldn't be dating someone who isn't allowed in the same space as you because they're too young to be there.
Yeah, especially. Well, I mean, especially when you've been allowed in that space for like 7 years.
Right.
Like it's not like he was 21 and she was 20, or like even like 23 and 20. Like, yeah. So I don't know.
I will say, like, if I can just rag on Stephen Moffat for one second. I think Stephen Moffat as a writer has a problem with how he writes women. And a lot of times he sees women as a plot point or like a narrative device to get his male protagonist somewhere else. So like, yes, this is the way it also is in the book. But I mean, when you're making an adaptation, you have a chance
to change things. I disagree. That's not the way it is in the book. Like,
yeah, the book is pretty equally split between.
Like, and that's something that I'm bring up in the difference between the show and the book.
Yeah, I just mean, like, the age gap, the meeting when she's a kid.
Yeah, I just mean, like, the book is, like, I mean, the story is, I mean, like, let's just go ahead and get into it. The story is called The Time Traveler's Wife. I did not feel like watching this. I did not feel like it was a story about her at all.
Mm-mm. Even though it specifically says that it is at one point.
She's like, this isn't a story about a time traveler.
It's about the
time traveler's wife. Like when she said that during, I was like, you can't say the name of the thing there. Don't do that. Stop it, Stephen.
Especially if it's a lot.
Yeah. But I mean, like, I would say, like, that is an issue specifically with the show and not with the book.
Yeah.
Yes.
So if we're talking about.
Because she gets perspective. Yeah.
A lot.
Chapters.
Yeah. So if we're talking about Stephen Moffat and, like, his hand on this story, I would argue, like, that's not in the book. Like, it's not about.
No, it's.
It's not about Henry, like, changing because of the love of a good woman or what the fuck ever he's talking about, which is basically what he said.
Yeah. There is a lot more emphasis, too, in the show about Henry being a bad person who she doesn't like at the beginning.
Yeah.
And changing.
And that's something I wrote here, too, is, like, I noticed the big conflict in the show was, like, Claire doesn't like younger Henry. And she's in love with older Henry. And that's, like, not in the book. That's, like, not a thing.
It's, like, it is, but not, like, she pretty quickly gets over it.
Yeah, it's not, like, this is, like, the central conflict of the show is her not being in love with the younger Henry. Which is not the central conflict of the book.
But then she's like, he is pretty hot, so it's fine.
Yeah, I wish we had gotten some of Claire's, or like more of Claire's perspective, because we see a lot of, like, especially towards the end, Henry time traveling to somewhere where Claire is, and then we see Claire like having some kind of emotional moment. Like I'm thinking about in the last episode when he zips in on her and she's like crying in bed. And we're left to think, like, what's she thinking about? And I would have loved to have seen that from her perspective.
Yeah, and I guess that's what I'm talking, when Kelly and I were talking about, like, is this confusing for people who haven't read the book? There's a lot of, like, time travel moments, especially in the last episode, where it's like, if you haven't read the book, I don't know, like, how would you know what was happening? you know?
I guess you can piece it together.
Well, I can, as the non-book yes. reader. I wasn't, like, confused about what was happening, but if there's, like, additional context to those moments, then, like, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what 100%. That is.
But I wasn't like,
there's like what's half happening? A book's worth you know? Of additional context yeah. to those moments. It is like the pregnancy.
Okay, well then I the guess I don't know. Pregnancy
stuff is like
half
a
the book.
Third of the book.
Yeah.
It's like a huge part.
A huge conflict.
Very much from Claire's perspective, too, about the miscarriages. Like, there's a lot.
There's a lot, it. A lot.
Yeah, well, I did go look at like a plot summary of the book. So that, because when y'all were talking yesterday about this series stops like halfway yeah. through the book, I was like, okay, well, I need to know what else is going on. And that kind of jogged my memory about what happened in the movie, too. But, yeah, so I know, like, what happens with the pregnancy stuff. But, yeah, none of that is in this except for a reference to, oh, it might be a right. problem.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff about the miscarriages, and this is kind of hinted at in the last episode, but so Henry gets a vasectomy. So basically, like, the way she gets pregnant is like a younger version of Henry impregnates her, which is kind of suggested in the show. 'Cause she's like, I like you, come back and see me, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. And then he's like, there's like that quick after credits moment where he's like, it's weird, isn't it? Me coming back to see you, like, blah, blah, blah. And then she's like, and then he says something like, oh, like, and I had a vasectomy, and don't you hate me or whatever? And she's like, well, you haven't had one yet.
Yeah.
Wink.
Yeah.
She doesn't actually basically. Wink, but.
But I mean, like, obviously all of that is, like, yeah. much more, like, played out in the show. And, like, watching it as someone who had read the book and knew that there were only going to be 6 episodes. When we got to about the 4th episode, I was like,
they're not going to get there.
We are spending a lot of time on them dating for a show that's called The Time Traveler's Wife.
And there is, to be fair.
Well, yeah, they don't even get married until the last
There is
episode.
A lot of that in the book. But again, the pace was wrong for the story if you wanted to tell that story in 6 episodes, which is yeah. why I feel like they were like, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to make this show about this first part and we're going to allude to the ending parts so it sort of feels complete. But then maybe if they want to give us more seasons, we can do that because there's more content to mine.
Yeah.
But even, like, as someone who hasn't read the book and didn't look up that plot summary until after I finished this, it still felt not yeah. complete when, like, it was obvious to me that that was, like, not a
well,
real
Well, especially,
end.
Like, there's the whole, like, you know, even if you haven't read the book, you know at some point he's going to lose his feet and yeah. that never comes up again.
Yeah.
Like, other than him being in a wheelchair, but it's like, how did that happen? Who
yeah,
knows?
Exactly.
And, I mean, you also get a hint, you get a sort of foreshadowing that he's going to die.
And they have a scene that implies the situation in which he dies, but mm-hmm. they also never return to that or fully explain it. Which is when she right. hears him calling her name when she's a kid. And he basically gets shot because he appears in the field and her dad and brother think he's like an animal and they shoot him.
Which, like, I'm not saying you have to, like, super explain everything or, like, that audiences can't understand stuff. Like, I think you could piece it together. But I don't know why even bring some of that up if you are clearly not going to do it and, like, try to angle for another season.
I, you know, like, we can talk about the possibility of a second season, but, like, honestly, like, I highly doubt this is getting a second season just based on the reviews it's
yeah,
getting.
Yeah, I don't think it is either.
Yeah. And I don't know how many people are
watching
it.
If it does, I'd don't think I'll watch it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you said you would, and I was like, interesting.
No, I don't think I would watch it. Yeah. No.
I would watch it.
No.
But maybe.
I did not love it.
Wanting to critique it.
I mean, I'm a completist, so if they do one, I would probably watch it. But I, like, highly doubt it's happening.
If I had read the book, I probably would, because I would need to know, like, just what is this adaptation?
How they adapt. But
what did they do with it?
Since I haven't, I feel like I could leave it here and never return.
So some other things that they added or changed, I have a little list. Let's talk about the framing device of the documentary question mark interviews, because obviously, like, that's not in the book. I think that was trying to get some of the more, like, expository moments in the book in the show, but, like, it wasn't very, like, it didn't explain very much. It kind of just felt, I don't know. Like, I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be getting from these sections.
Well, and I was like, who is doing this? Like, what is this for?
Like,
are they doing it for their future daughter?
Yeah.
Or is he doing it? Like, that would make more sense to me if he was making tapes for his daughter, you know, because he's not going to get to know her as much when she's older. But, like, there's moments when they, like, talk to someone off camera or something as though they're like, why would you ask me that question?
Yeah.
Like, who? But then later we see, like, the camera that's just, like, sitting in the apartment that's, like, centered on his desk. And it's like, I'm so confused about what's going on here. And, like, who decided? Who found out about this, A? B, like, why are they, like, is this, where is this going to be aired? On PBS? Like, who? I don't understand what the purpose of this is.
Maybe it's Gomez.
I was about to say that.
He developed a new hobby.
Documentary filmmaking.
Yeah,
that part was, so those parts were strange. But also, they, like, the writing in those parts was super bad.
Yeah.
Which in turn made the acting feel super bad. And I don't know who to blame. I guess the writing. But also, the old makeup was really bad. Like, it was just a lot of bad stuff happening altogether.
The wigs. Henry's long hair wigs. Like, honestly, just, okay. I have such conflict. Oh, well, we can talk about this when we get to the casting.
Okay. So should I talk about some of the other stuff that the show adds?
Yeah, I need to know.
Okay, so the show, here we get into the triggers, but the show adds sexual assault to the story that isn't in the book.
Well, it adds rape. Sexual assault was there.
Yeah.
But she does not actually, what she tells Henry, that he didn't rape me, he just beat me up and burned me with a cigarette, that happens in the book.
Yeah, but that's not sexual assault. That's,
I mean, she, like, has, I'm pretty abuse. Sure he, like, takes her clothes off to burn her with a cigarette and stuff.
Okay.
Like, I would consider that sexual assault, especially since it was because she wouldn't sleep with him.
All right.
Like, yeah, that makes sense.
It's not rape.
It's at least assault and battery, though.
Let's say it adds more sexual assault. Can we say
that?
Yeah. Why?
I don't know.
I don't know. I didn't even know that wasn't in the book until just now.
So. Great. Cool.
Yeah. Because the whole scene, it plays out the same way, except for she didn't get raped. And in the show, she does get raped.
We hear that in the documentary part, too. That's when she says.
Yeah. She's like, I never told Henry.
I mean.
And on the one hand, I'm like, okay, like, maybe it is more realistic that she would be raped in that scenario.
Uh-huh.
And not. But also, why? Like, what does that add?
Nothing.
Other than, like, additional trauma for this character.
Additional also, trauma that's, like, never explored again, so.
Yeah. And then I'm like, at least they don't show it. And then they, like, flash back to it. And I'm like, okay, so they are going to show it.
Great.
Cool.
Yeah. Maybe it's just because HBO was like, yeah, we kind of have to have rape in our shows.
Yeah, it's a kind of a thing we do.
Yeah.
So.
Unfortunately. Baby just kicked really hard, so I assume that means they did not enjoy that either.
Baby does not condone rape. That's a good start for any baby.
Yeah.
It's a good sign. Also, and I mean, Helly, maybe, like, since you've read this more recently, maybe you can tell me, but I don't remember Henry telling Ingrid that she dies by suicide in the book.
He does not tell her that she... No, he doesn't tell her, but he's there for her suicide.
Because I just feel like telling someone that they're going to die by suicide is a very irresponsible thing to do.
Yeah.
And it really bothered me.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure in the book she... Because, like, that, her coming to dinner and all that never happens.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a thing. Like, she is never in the same scene as, like, Claire and Henry. But she basically, like, he tells someone else, I think, that she dies.
Mm-hmm.
But he never tells her directly. And, yeah, that was a very bizarre choice. And then in the book, he time travels from the future, like, pretty far in the future, back and ends up in her apartment, like, the day that she kills herself. And he's like, fuck, this is the date. Yeah, and his feet are gone, so he can't leave. And he's, like, laying there, and she's, like, yelling at him and shit. And then she has a gun, and he's like, are you gonna kill me? And he already knows, like, that she's gonna kill herself, but she does. And it's really depressing.
Yeah, I just feel like it's never the move to tell someone they're going to die by suicide, even if it's true.
Yeah.
It really bothered me.
Doesn't she bring it up?
Yeah,
first?
She's like, am I going to die? Am I going to die? And he, like, won't answer her because he's...
And she's like, how do I do it?
And he's like, I won't say yes or no. And then she's like, is it pills? Blah, blah, blah. And then he just kind of, like, relents, I guess. But... Because he's, like, doesn't want to lie, but...
But again, that's a choice the show made to write it that way.
She put her in that situation in the first place. Because she doesn't need to be there, and why would she decide to stay for... like, it doesn't make any... Like, what is that character's motivation? Like, why is she staying there? Like...
Yeah.
Anytime she shows up in the book, it's for her to be like, fuck you, stay away from me, to, like, anyone who's there.
There's so much stuff that's not talked about in the show, or that's, like, halfway referenced, and they move away from it. Why do we have to add just, like, more trauma?
Yeah.
Well, there's plenty of trauma that was already
that
there.
That we didn't even get to.
I will say for your next talking point, I did like that. That change. I was for some reason on board.
Well, do you want to say what that change is?
Yes.
Since, I mean, like, the listeners do not know what you speak
Dear
of.
Dear listener, Claire sleeps with Charisse, not just Gomez. In the book, she only sleeps with Gomez.
Yeah.
And there's, like, jokes in the book where everyone's like, oh, Claire's never, like, dating anyone. Maybe she's a lesbian, blah, blah, blah. And then in the show, they kind of are like, well, maybe she is. Like, she sleeps with Charisse in addition to Gomez. And I was like, you know what? Fine. Because I always thought it was weird reading the book that Charisse was like, I fully know Gomez is in love with Claire, my best friend. And I'm like, that's cool, I guess. Whereas for her to have also slept with Claire puts them on slightly more equal footing, I feel. And it feels a little more, I don't know. I liked that one change, but also I'm here for girls sleeping together, so.
It was also fun,
It was cute how they did it, you know? She wakes up in the same position next to someone, and then it's Charisse.
I mean, I also thought it was really funny how Charisse, like, leans in to kiss her and then says, oh no, did I do it wrong? Was that bad?
Claire's like, we're best friends, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, cut to the next morning. They have fucked.
Yeah.
To be fair, Henry said, like, get out there.
Mm-hmm.
Sleep with a bunch of people. I still, though, I don't know. I felt really weird about it. I'm like, why are you sleeping with all of them when they're dating?
Well, I mean, I think it makes sense because, like, she knows that she is not going to have a like, future with anybody she sleeps with. Yeah. And so, like, it seems, I don't know, it seems like it would make sense if you were in that situation to just be like, well, fuck it, I'm just going to sleep with someone who I know I can't, like, form a, like, long-term connection with in that way because they're, like, unavailable.
No matter how badly Gomez wants that.
Right, right. So, I don't know. To me, that makes sense. Also,
miniature sidebar, the actor who was playing Gomez was giving me big Lin-Manuel Miranda vibes the whole time, and that
oh yeah,
wasn't a compliment.
So, do you want to talk about the casting decisions then, since he brought that up?
Okay. Sure.
Let's talk about the casting decisions, because we have seen most of us have seen two versions of this.
I've blacked out that movie.
I mean, that movie was worse casting than this, yeah. But that's a low bar.
So we can discuss.
I remember being, like, physically ill when I left the movie theater because the book was a lot fresher and I loved it and I was so excited, and then the movie was
I did not see it in the theater. I waited for video for that one.
Bad.
But
I can't remember. Yeah. I heard it was close to when it came out. So however, sad. I think that the reason I blacked out most of it, besides just not caring about it that much, having no connection to the book, is that Rachel McAdams is in a much better time travel movie. That is fantastic.
Yes.
And so this one I just try to forget.
Yes, I agree.
I still have to
watch
that.
It's called In Time.
What's her
time?
About Time. And Margot Robbie's in it.
Yes, she is.
And Rachel McAdams is also in, unfortunately, a Woody Allen film, Midnight in Paris, which is also a time travel movie where she plays the wife of a man who is time travel, the fiancé.
About Time is the one to watch. Yeah. That one's good. I cried.
Just saying, I saw an article once about someone interviewing Rachel McAdams, and they were like, why have you played a time traveler's wife three times?
And was she like, shut up.
We don't talk about this.
She was like, it's my thing.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The casting. Look. I didn't mind. My problem was with the writing more than the casting. I didn't mind Theo James. I did like three eps and go like, isn't that the dude from Divergent? And then I was like, did they ever finish it?
No, they did not. They did not.
Rose Leslie. I'm like, Lily James? She's
it's
not
somebody
Lily
else from that show. What's the name of that show? That I never watched.
Downton Abbey?
Thanks. It's someone else from Downton Abbey. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't either.
I liked Rose Leslie. I thought she was good. I thought she was doing what she could with what she had. I think it is insulting to ask audiences to believe that she looks 16.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I think it's insulting for them to ask audiences to believe she looks 72 or that, like, Theo James looks like he's in his 40s or
whatever. Okay, so, like, he was aging rapidly, right? Because when he was 42, I was like, he looks 70.
Yeah. I think they did that. And I mean, it does say that in the book a bit because he'll time travel and be gone for like months or whatever and then come back and it's like an hour has passed or something.
Okay.
So like his body has aged. But like for it to age that much, I guess maybe the effects of traveling through time, whatever that process is, are maybe also aging him.
Okay.
I
was like, is that what I'm going to look at, like, at 42? Because that's not too far from now, and, like,
he was already looking fucking old at, like, 37 or something. It was like, why is he...
Which is how old he actually is, because I checked today. That's the only time he looks, like, pretty close. And she's 35.
Yeah.
Yeah, for her to be playing 16, it was like...
It's not that I think she looks old.
This is...
It was weird. I felt like they did a little CGI when she was 16 to smooth her out, too, which was, like, a little uncanny.
Also, the casting of the two girls who play, like, there is more to a person and what they look like than the color of their hair. Like, that child and then the 10-year-old and Rose Leslie have zero physical features.
Also, her sister didn't look anything like her either.
No. Which, like, fine. If your sibling is going to look totally different, sure, I can, sure.
Okay, wait. Also, speaking of sexual assault, did her sister not grab his crotch? I was like, I feel like this goes beyond, like, a fun joke from a sister. Like, this is sexual assault. Like, I don't know. Anyway, I had an issue with that also, but.
Yeah.
And she's just like, LOL, I'm your sister. Shouldn't I harass your boyfriend?
No. No, absolutely not.
Well, and even, like, Claire kind of laughs it off in a really weird way, too.
Yeah.
Like, I would be pretty pissed if my sister grabbed my future husband's crotch as
like,
a joke.
Like, we would have to have a serious come to Jesus conversation.
Whew, I didn't even put that
we're
in.
No longer talking.
I found it so disconcerting every time it showed young Claire, because I was like, there is no universe in which that's the same person as this.
Nope, if you have red hair, that's
like, once
that's
you turn 16, suddenly you look like Rose Leslie. I don't like, that doesn't.
Yeah, well, also, they just like, both have big teeth actor. And that's the only thing in common.
Like, he had a different 16-year-old actor.
Yeah!
Also, this show was way too hung up on how he had sex with himself.
It was very obsessed with that fact.
And how he's not gay, though.
Obsessed. I'm sorry. Everyone would do it.
Yeah. Well, not Emily.
I wouldn't do it.
Well, everyone would consider it.
Yeah.
No I would, interest. I would do it.
Would it. Cross your mind,
I would do it a lot. I would do it every chance I got.
Zero interest in doing
but
that.
But, like, I don't know. Especially in the last episode, he spends a lot of time being like, I'm not gay, Dad. I'm not gay. I'm not gay. I'm like, no one's saying this but you. Like, maybe.
Also, like, your dad doesn't, like, obviously doesn't care. Like, yeah. And then says, I
says,
don't care.
I'm a musician. Like, everyone's gay.
Everyone's gay, Henry. What an ally.
Everyone's gay. That's the name of the episode.
Does he have sex with himself in the book?
Yeah. Like,
and that's the moment when his dad sees him double for the first time.
Yeah.
But also in the book, that's also a moment where it's like the first opportunity that he has to explain to himself that, like, you can't change the future. Because, like, he had locked the door, and then somehow it got unlocked, and he, like, saw the door turning or whatever, and then he, like, turns to his future self, who's from, like, a couple months later, and he's like, you knew that was gonna happen, why didn't you stop? And he's like, bro, I literally can't.
Now finish.
Yeah.
So,
but do they talk about it that much?
No.
Later?
I don't even know if, like, he, because that's just a moment, like, throughout the book, it's, like, just, like, little moments where it's, like, Henry is 16 and 16 or whatever, and then it'll be that, but it's not, like, linked to something happening in the present ever, or sometimes it is, but usually it's just, like, it's told in a somehow less linear way than the show, because I feel like the show is constantly like, let's have a conversation about this, and then we'll flash back to a moment in the past that relates to the conversation we just had. The book isn't really like that.
The show wants to play I've Got a Secret.
Yeah, it had, like, themed episodes. Yeah. Okay, so other casting decisions, I feel like...
I will say, on Theo James, that,
you
like,
to
he's
say
way
about Theo
too...
James,
like, traditionally handsome to be Henry. I think, like, Henry's supposed to be handsome, but in kind of, like, a, he's described as being, like, very, like, angular and, like, lanky and kind of, like, he has, like, a punk vibe to him, sort of, and he's...
Which Eric Bana was not either.
Theo James is a better choice. And also, Henry has, like, straight black hair and is, like, very pale and, like, just, like, and it... He's a librarian, okay? Like, Theo James, I'm sorry, but you don't look like a librarian.
Look.
But.
I mean, I guess if you had to run around naked that much, you might work out so that you had abs like that. Like,
we saw that man's ass.
Oh my god.
Dick.
It. Like, at the beginning of the show, so Todd ass. Was like, some tasteful butt. We're getting just, like, a glimpse here and there. And by the last episode, Todd was like, Theo James said, show my dick.
Like, I've seen his butt.
And I'm like, we've seen so much nudity, but where is the fucking? Where is the fucking?
It's Stephen Moffat. He can't let himself go there.
It's all, like, fade to black.
And we keep being like, oh, like, he's so good in bed. Like, the sex is great with young Henry. Can we see? May I see some?
Yeah, show me.
I know, it's HBO, come on.
Can't we get, like, some sexy scenes? There was, like, no, it was, like, a sexless show, despite the fact that so much of it is, like...
About sex.
About sex.
Yeah.
It's funny thinking about casting Rachel McAdams always playing the wife of someone who time travels when Eric Bana has twice played a man named Henry that he should not have been cast as.
Yeah, that's true.
So, this guy,
the other Boleyn girl.
I haven't seen Divergent, so, like, this is my only Theo James reference. He looks like Dermot Mulroney time traveled back and got younger, and then became that.
I mean, he's.
I didn't love him, but I also, again, like, I don't know if it's really him or if it's just, like, the fact that the lines he's delivering are so fucking cheesy the whole time that I'm like,
ugh. I didn't mind. I was actually pleasantly surprised. He's very handsome. He's nice to look at.
Well, yeah, I mean, I enjoyed him being naked. I will say that.
Yeah.
Like,
but I think he did.
Nice
he was
spot.
Good at doing the snarkiness.
Yeah, like the quippy.
Yeah, he was pretty good at that in a way that was, like, believable. Again, like, not all of the documentary scenes. Those were trash on every level.
Yeah, when he interacts with his other selves, like, I think there's some good moments there.
Yeah,
I don't feel like he and Rose Leslie had...
No.
Well, we didn't really get to see them in love at all.
Like,
I feel like part of that, too, was the writing. Because, like, most of the time when they're on screen, they're, like, arguing about something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which, true. I mean, I felt like the – and we discussed this earlier, but, like, I feel like the book is, like, pretty romantic.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel that from the show at all. It's like, it just really felt like, I guess we're stuck together. Like, that's how it felt.
Yeah. Right, and like,
and
why?
I'm sort of horny for you, but only at certain versions of it.
Yeah. And then they get married, and it's like, but in the book, by the time they're getting married, they're like very much in love, and it's like, yes.
Yeah.
Like, at this time, we are both in love with each other.
Right.
When they're getting married, it's like, are you guys sure about this? Like,
also, was that the best they could make her look on her wedding day?
That dress was bad, in my opinion.
Her makeup was like, bad too, and so was her hair. I don't know, she's rich.
Yeah.
The dress looked like you just took a bunch of layers of tulle and cut them at different lengths.
Yeah
Also, as Emily mentioned, Rose Leslie is a Tory.
I didn't mention that on the podcast. I texted you guys about this before.
I was saying, like, as you mentioned in text.
Well, I didn't want podcast listeners to be like, oh, did I miss that? And we talked about politics earlier. We have not talked about politics yet, but it is hard to enjoy a casting choice when you know in real life that they have shitty political beliefs.
Yeah.
So
she did at least support Scotland remaining in the United Kingdom. She did not support Brexit, according to Wikipedia.
Okay.
But still.
But
gross.
Yeah. She has supported her dad, who is like a prominent Tory politician.
Yikes.
Yes, she hates poor people.
Yeah,
basically.
I do think she's really pretty, which is all Stephen Moffat needed her to do.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm sure she and Kit Harington have made a beautiful baby.
Yeah,
I looked up her actual wedding pictures so I could see what she should look like.
Was it better
in a wedding dress?
Okay,
and it looked much better. Yeah. Pretty dress. Her hair was nice.
Any other notes about the casting?
She looked happy to be getting married.
Yeah, that was a big change.
Gomez was all wrong, I will say.
What is he?
He's supposed to be like blonde and like very, very handsome and sort of like when you first meet him, he has like a pompadour. He's like, oh yes, very pretty.
Yeah, and look, she looks happy. Yeah.
But he's just supposed to be, like, sexy, and, like, also there is, like, a whole thing with him being, like, extremely communist, and, like, when they talk about, when he keeps saying comrade in the show, he, like, explains it that way, but it's, like, no, he's, like, a hardcore communist in the book, and so is Charisse. They're, like, activists.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and there's a whole scene in the book where they are playing, like, a fake version of Monopoly that Charisse and Gomez invented like, it's they have to, like, answer questions as they go around the board, and it's, like, it's very funny, and they have, like, lots of, like, political conversations, and they're talking about, like, Gomez is talking about how we need to eat the rich, and then Henry's like, but you'd have to eat Claire, and Claire's like, I don't want to be eaten, and it's, like, this whole thing. Which is very entertaining, but
I like that better.
Yeah. I just felt like this guy was doing Lin-Manuel Miranda impressions.
Yeah.
I've never seen this actor in anything else, so I cannot attest to how he usually is. Todd said he really liked him in another show.
I have not seen him. I didn't actually make the Lin-Manuel Miranda connection, though I can see it now that you mention it, I suppose.
Oh, yeah, now that you said it.
Oh, I will say, shout out to Kate Siegel playing Henry's mom. I love her.
Oh, yeah. I did, though, when I saw her, I was like, is she going to do a monologue?
She did a little bit.
She did a little bit.
Just a little one.
I like her, though. She was good.
Yeah.
Especially, like, the scene when Henry finds her, like, or when Henry, as a kid, goes up to her and is like, I'm a time traveler. And she's like, be serious, Henry.
Yeah.
I'm like, ooh.
She's like, you can't keep doing this.
It was intense. I felt like she did some acting.
She's an excellent actress.
She's also, like, unfairly attractive.
Yes, beautiful. And a noted bisexual. Let's not forget.
That's true.
I didn't
wed to Mike
That's
Flanagan.
Why all of Mike Flanagan's work has lesbians in it. That's my theory anyway.
This is a part.
That's his wife.
Huh. Oh, interesting. Oh. Should we talk about the ending?
What ending?
Yeah.
Just
the wedding?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it basically ends at the wedding.
It ends on
and
a
then
happy
they're, like,
note.
Kissing in the future, and it's like, oh, we're kissing.
Okay. I have a lot of feelings about weddings, as y'all know. My main feeling about a wedding is that for grown-ass people who understand how life works, a wedding is not the end of a story.
Yeah, no.
It is the beginning of a story. And most of life for a couple happens after the wedding, unless you just get divorced, like, right the fuck away, right? Like, so to me, as someone who, and, like, as we've mentioned before, like, this book, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of it that happens before the wedding, but the wedding is, like, kind of, like, at the midpoint of the story, and then, like, a lot of the story is about how difficult it is to actually be married to someone who is constantly disappearing and, like, that type of stuff, right? So I had a really hard time accepting the wedding as sort of like the climax of this series, because like, I don't feel like that is the intent of the book. And I felt like tonally, it kind of like changes the message of the story. But those are, like, I guess that's not a question. I just wanted to get my feelings out there and see how y'all felt about it. So.
I don't disagree. There's no way the story can end with a wedding, especially when, like, even if we're not considering the book, the show itself references so much stuff that happens later and foreshadows so much stuff that happens later to never get to any of that seems dumb.
Yeah. Well, and it kind of seemed like they tried to write it off like, oh, I saw all that stuff because it's just supposed to tell me that, like, even though bad things are going to happen, like, it's still worth it to be married. It's sort of like the message that I was left with at the end.
Especially when Henry asks his dad, was it worth it? Even though you knew you were good, or even though you lost Mom, was it worth it being married to her?
Well, and that, it was dumb because it's like, you already know you're going to spend the future with her, whether or not you, like, literally get married to her in this moment. Like, you already saw yourself in a house with her at, like, 40. So, like, why are you even bothering to ask this question?
And you've already explained that you couldn't change that if you wanted to change that.
I was fully heckling the show by the
answer
end.
Doesn't matter. You were what?
Fully heckling.
Heckling.
Oh.
Like, when his dad was like, oh, give her a baby, and then she'll be happy. And then when the younger Henry goes back, I'm like, put a baby in her! Like, I was just screaming at the TV because I was so mad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was a very disappointing ending.
It's not like I'm just, like, always jonesing for
this is a sad story. Like,
but it is a sad story.
Like, in any attempts to make the story happy, like, even if you've never read the book, if you're watching the story and you see it end on this, like, happy note, it feels false. Like, it sort of feels, you know, like, it feels like someone turned off the movie at the happy point before the sad ending. Like, well, and that's all that happens.
Yes.
Like, that's what it felt like.
They turned it off after the first wedding and somewhere on the roof.
Before the Nazis came in.
Before the Nazis.
Turned it off before all the Nazis.
Exactly. That's what it feels like, you know?
Just a happy thing in family.
Well, especially, again, like Mary said, since they allude to his death and you see that, it's like, why are you acting like this is not going to end badly?
Yeah, let's just do a flash mob and sing about getting married in the morning.
And I mean, there
and, like, barely allude to the existence of their child, which is, like, such a huge thing in the book.
And Audrey Niffenegger is writing a whole new
book. Well, it better be better than her second one, because her second one was a load of trash. A load of trash. I didn't write this as a thing that we needed to talk about, but we need to talk about, if you want to read The Time Traveler's Wife, I say go for it. It's a wonderful book. Like, I 10 out of 10 would recommend. Do not listen to me. Pretend that I'm grabbing you by your shoulders and shaking you right now. Do not read her second book. Do not. You might be curious. Don't be. It was not good.
There's a reason she has not written a novel since 2009.
It was bad.
And the reason is her fearful symmetry.
I don't remember.
It was really bad.
Bad.
No.
Is it related to this story?
No.
Is it part of the story? Okay.
It's a ghost story, quote unquote.
But now she's writing one about.
I don't even want to try to describe it to you, because if I try to describe it to you, it'll sound interesting and you'll be like, ooh, I'd be interested in that. No.
No, don't worry. I'm not going to do it.
It's basically about twin sisters. One of them dies and then haunts the other one's apartment, sort of. But then there's, like, a dude who they both want to fuck. That's, like, mostly
what I remember
about it.
There's some concession shit happening. I don't know. It's not.
It sounds fun. And then you read it and you're like, that was so dumb.
Anyway.
Anyway,
I will definitely read her next book.
I will read her next book.
Because, like, honestly, like, if I loved one book and hated the other, I'm going to err more on the side of, like, well, she wrote something I loved rather than.
And this is a continuation of that.
So now if this next book I don't like, I would be less inclined to pick up another. But
then you're dead to us.
Fool me once, you know, shame on me. But fool me twice, I'm not reading you again. So.
Lucy Foley.
That's right.
Stephen Moffat.
Do we have any final thoughts about any Time Traveler's Wife, Audrey Niffenegger, Stephen Moffat, Rose Leslie, HBO?
I crapped on this a lot, and I really did loathe that last episode. To the point that I was yelling at the TV. But I did enjoy a lot of the show. Like, I think it was a cool visualization, even if I don't agree with, like, some of the turns it made. I didn't hate it. It's not the worst thing I've ever seen. But the last episode felt like it lasted 5 years.
The last episode might be the worst thing I've ever seen.
Of anything ever. I don't know. It definitely is comparable to several episodes of Dracula, another horrible Stephen Moffat production that we talked about on this show.
What is it? Dracula? Oh, he did Dracula? Oh,
yes.
Oh, I didn't know he...
If I had known that, I would have been...
I feel we need to put an end to this. We have to make a rule. No more. No more Moffat. No more Stephen Moffat.
He
has now fooled us twice.
Most of my dislike of him comes from Doctor Who and can't watch Sherlock. That show.
I enjoyed Sherlock, honestly.
I enjoyed Sherlock too. But I think a recurring theme with Stephen Moffat is queer baiting and writing women really poorly.
Little shout out here. If you're tired of queer baiting, you should watch Our Flag Means Death, because it doesn't queer bait. It just goes there.
It doesn't bait. It just says we're doing
At first, you're watching and you're like, is this queer baiting right now? And then it becomes a romance.
No, it's simply gay.
Yeah.
Also, it's got a little bit of everything. Gay pirates.
We love Taika Waititi. I mean, I love Taika Waititi, so, you know. Anyway. Little plug. Instead of watching Time Traveler's Wife, just watch Our Flag Means Death.
It's basically the same.
Completely unrelated
basically the same
to
thing.
What we talked about.
Also on HBO.
Also on HBO. It's a love story. Anyway.
HBO sponsor.
We don't have any listener feedback, do we?
No.
So. That is sad.
What's on the blog? Hopefully the memory librarian.
Speaking of gay shit.
Speaking of, well, not speak. We never have said anything.
No, yeah, we did. Gay. We talked about Our Flag Means Death.
Was
also,
that gay?
We are going to have a guest post.
Yeah.
About Our Crooked Hearts, the new.
I'm excited to read that one.
Emily's very own friend, Claire.
My very own friend.
Wow.
That's right. I have friends, everyone. It's true.
I emailed her and said, yes, please write this for us. That would be so great. We would love to have you. And she said, LOL, already wrote it.
Great.
A friend of one's own. Oh, yay.
So that is exciting.
I did finally write the post I've been talking about.
Oh, yay. So we're going to have a couple of things on the blog, y'all.
Look at us
blogging.
The blog lives
in 2022. Just blogging away.
I'm gonna drop one blog and then go on maternity leave.
That's fine.
Perfect.
Just drop that blog. All right.
Drop a blog.
Let's talk about what's on the next episode. As I was typing this, Susan, I was wondering, will she have looked up how to pronounce this name before the episode?
I didn't.
It must just be Kukafka, right?
Yeah.
Like Kafka, that's a name that I know. I guess maybe not. I don't know.
Look.
Next episode, we're going to read Notes on an Execution by probably pronounced Dania Kukafka.
Hopefully.
Again, I will by then.
TBD.
I'll have checked if I said that correctly.
Yeah. Cool. Kelly, you got the next one.
Oh, yeah. Our next other sode is going to be on the new Persuasion film that is going to be – that's Netflix, right?
Yes, Netflix.
It'll be on Netflix starring Dakota Johnson and Henry Golding and some other people, I guess.
Yeah.
And we will be joined by special guest Tirza Price, one of our favorite people ever. And we will also be talking with her about her new book, Sense and Second Degree Murder.
Yay.
I can't wait.
So excited.
Also, she revealed the cover, and it is unsurprisingly.
You mean the cover for her third book?
Yeah, I guess that is what I meant. They're all the same artist,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They're all
because like since the second degree murder, good. It's out, so it's been revealed.
Yeah,
but the maybe. Third book is Manslaughter Park, Park, and that has been revealed. So that is very.
They're all
funny.
Like if you put them all side by side, they follow a similar.
We're really gonna have to get on to her about doing a Northanger Abbey book.
I would love Northanger.
We gotta come up with some plot ideas for her. Oh, I think she said, was it Manslaughter Park that's going to have a queer relationship in it?
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I think we're gonna get lesbians.
Good.
Which yes. We can ask her more about when she comes on the show.
Yes.
So yeah.
You can let us know what you thought of The Time Traveler's Wife or anything else that we've talked about. You can email us at thesquad@booksquadgoals.com. You can reach us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter @booksquadgoals. Our website is booksquadgoals.com. That's also where our blog is. You can follow us on whatever podcast app you use. Please subscribe and please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts specifically, because that is how other people will find us. And tell your friends.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you, guys.
Woo.
And gals and everybody else. Kitties.
Time to time travel out of here.